understand the situation. They want to get a good look at Scott and Matt and also make sure I'm ready to play for the regular season. I mean, last week was a good step for us as an offense to move the ball, 2 12-play drives, get used to the speed of the no huddle. Thought it went well. This week, not sure what the playing time is going to be, but I'll be ready to play as much or as little as Mike desires.
With Brandon Bostic out a couple weeks, kind of giving Jake Stoneburner a chance to step up, I guess, what have you seen out of him?
Yeah, Jake's done a good job. You know, he's a smart guy. He runs his routes very crisply, gets open at the right time, and I think he's doing everything he needs to do to get in the mix. That's a deep group. I think there's still going to be some movement there through the next couple weeks. And as usual, tight end is one of the deeper spots on our team and a spot where you could always keep an extra one based on special teams performance.
Aaron, you talked about rhythm and developing a sense of timing with JC. It doesn't appear as if there's really been any clunky or sticking points. Have you been surprised with how quickly that's come along?
I haven't. I think surprise would be disrespectful to JC. I think he's done a great job. There is, like I said, after the game, I have no worries about him, no reservations with him starting the season as the guy and moving forward in that direction. He's a smart guy. He's done everything the way that we want him to do it. He's gained the trust of TJ and Josh, which is hard to do, and myself. I think the three of us are important for the center because it's his two sideboards and the guy who's in his ear the most and myself. So I'm really proud of JC. He's done a great job, and he gives us absolutely zero cause for concern at the position.
Aaron, now that he's gone, what do you appreciate most about James Jones?
James is a talented guy. You know, I loved his presence in the locker room. I loved the way that he practiced. He's a guy who you knew would go up and get the ball. He made some incredible catches in his time here. I think he progressed as well. You know, he really became an even better teammate and player with better practice habits as his career went on and led the league in receiving touchdowns a few years back and made a ton of big plays for us over the years. So I loved having him around. I've still kept in touch with him and wish him and his wife the best.
You guys have done well in loud crowd games, whether it's domes or whatever. Is there a point or two there that you could point to that have part of that success?
Well, inside I get to wear my favorite shoes, and we have a climate-controlled environment. So I've always pointed to those two personally. I think, you know, Mike does a good job of piping in the crowd noise, so we're working in that environment often. But when you get in those situations, it's about execution. It's about nonverbal communication. The defense is stressed as well because they have to get the call in the midst of the noise. So the defense is in a stressed position, and offensively we have to be very good with our nonverbal communication. And I think Mike's always done a good job of keeping us focused on the fact that it's a trip to go down there with one purpose, and that's to win a game. And we've done a pretty good job indoors in loud environments.
Aaron, I know we've talked about the officials and the proliferation of flags, especially that 5-yard bump.
That's a good word, Chris. Yeah.
Don't ask me to spell it. Does that change your thinking in maybe being aggressive where you can take shots? If they're going to call it more closely, you might get some big gains just on flags alone. Does it change the way you approach it?
I believe, so my own opinion, but I believe that there's a message being sent this preseason with the number of flags, but I don't see how you can continue to ref it the same way because, as we've seen, there's so many different calls that can be called on every single play, whether it's offensive holding or illegal contact or what have you, some of the areas of emphasis. The spirit of the hands to the face rule, I think, needs a second look because if a guy is blocking and a defender ducks his head, or vice versa, if a guy is rushing and an offensive lineman ducks his head, I think just a hand that gets taken off quickly to the head or face mask is not the intent is not to harm or to cause a safety to harm to the player, you know, violation of the player's safety stuff that I know they want to cut back on. So I think they need to, you know, potentially take a look at it. The numbers are definitely up from last year's regular season, but that's what they usually do. They emphasize things, they call them, and then you get in the regular season and you usually don't see as many of those plays called.
Aaron, when you have the number one offense together pretty much the entire camp as you have, does it allow you to sort of expand on any of the things you would do during camp that maybe you couldn't do in the past?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really important that we, you know, though there were some questions early on about the center position, I think, you know, JC definitely separated himself and we were able to really operate as the number one offense with really, other than the tight end position, not many of those spots where there's a gray area on who was going to be the guy. So we've really worked on a lot of things, whether it's on the field or in the Hudson Center. You know, changing signals up, having a set of signals for the preseason and then being able to change that for the regular season, working on the different things that we can expand on from last year that worked, base concepts with the wrinkles. Just being able to challenge the guys every day I think has been really important because I think we all, when you're in a camp environment, you need to be challenged in different ways. So I've taken it upon myself and the coach staff as well to challenge the guys every day on whether it's signal recognition or formation recognition or just their basic assignment, changing those things up to see how they can respond. And the guys at every position have done a really nice job.
You talked about James Jones earlier. How about having Woodson on the opposite side? What's that going to be like?
Charles is one of my all-time favorite teammates and probably the most talented guy, most dominant player that I've played with during his stretch from his time when he got here until he left. I mean, he was so dominant in the secondary. I learned so much from him, being able to practice with him when I was on the scout team pretty extensively and then getting to work with him in competitive drills and practice, see him every day, see him in the locker room, listen to what he said to the guys, watch him as he expanded his leadership role. It was really fun to see. And then to be able to become good friends with him was a blast because he was a guy who had my back through and through, and I always appreciate that about him. And he's a future Hall of Famer. I'm proud to be able to say I've played with him, won a Super Bowl with him. He was a humongous part of that, and I definitely miss his presence around here.
Aaron, how much have you modeled your leadership style after what you learned from Charles?
Well, Charles is a better speaker than I am to the team. I mean, he had an incredible ability from the first time he really got in there until he was done with us of being able to command the room. And Charles had that presence when he walked into a room. There's something with the energy and the charisma that he has that he could really get everybody's attention, and guys cared about what he said. From the speech in the locker room in Chicago after we won, where he was talking about we'll go see the president if he won't see us, him talking in 2011 as we started the season against New Orleans, and challenging us to go undefeated, and then we started that season 13-0 and had a legit shot, for a while there of running the table. He was just a guy who people respected so much for the way he carried himself and the way he played on the field, and it's hard to replace a guy like that.
A couple more.
Aaron, speaking of leadership, you and Edgar are really demanding of those young receivers. Yesterday you got on Janice a little bit. What's your philosophy there as a quarterback with those guys, and does anything go on then after the fact that we don't see after you school the guy or what have you?
Well, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in the meeting rooms and in the locker room conversations. You know, I think at some point you have to let those guys know that performance is so important in the preseason. But if you want to make this team, you have to perform when you're with the first string. And, we talked at length. I have here talking about it. There's really a couple offenses. There's an offense on paper, and then there's the offense the way the first team runs it. And you have to be able to be non-robotic when you're out there, have quick reactions, and see the game the way that I do and the way our offense runs most efficiently. So I'm going to hold those guys to a high standard when they're out there with us. And, you know, we're trying to round out that group right now. So the guys who are going to be able to merge and separate themselves are the guys who are going to be able to make the proper adjustments and run their routes the way that I want them to and the way that Edgar wants them to, because if you're going to be the fourth or fifth receiver or sixth receiver on this team, you're going to get a chance to play with me in the regular season. And Edgar does an incredible job of demanding those guys and having high expectations, and I feel the same way.